Welcome to Menopause Reimagined. Before I introduce myself today, I want to make sure that you have filled out our latest survey, which is called Doctor Visits. I put a link to it below. I want to know, how many doctors have you visited before you or your healthcare practitioner made the connection between your symptoms and how you feel and perimenopause and menopause? So if you can do me a favor, fill it out below. There's four questions. It'll take you under a minute to do. I would be very grateful. I'm Andrea Donsky. I'm a nutritionist for 19 years, menopause educator, and menopause researcher. I'm also the co-founder of WeAreMorphous.com, a company that helps to empower you to take control of your health and symptoms with nutrition, lifestyle, supplements, and research. Today, I'm speaking with Amy Ziff. She's a healthy living educator with a genetic predisposition to toxicity. She's also mom to three kids who share the same trait. Determined to make the world less toxic, Amy founded Made Safe in 2015. I remember when she founded it. An organization that revolutionizes how consumer products are made by eliminating the use of harmful chemicals from the marketplace to ensure a safe and sustainable future for all of us. Amy has a master's in journalism and communications, and she's on a mission to help consumers choose healthier for you and the environment products. Now, here's Amy. Welcome to Menopause Reimagined, Amy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you because for those of you who are listening, I've known Amy for a very long time. We are OGs in the health and wellness space, and we spend a lot of time together. And when I think of you, Amy, I think of, and as I read in the bio, that you are on a mission to make the world less toxic. And I haven't really covered this a lot in my podcast yet. And a lot of this has to do with my old life before I came to Morphous when I was doing Naturally Savvy. And I thought it would be a really good opportunity to cover what that means. So what does that mean to make the world less toxic, but also as it relates to our cosmetics, what we're putting onto our body, cleaning products, all of that. So I would love you to share your story and tell us how you got here.
Sure. Well, it began way long time ago when I was just a young kid. I was 9 years old. I started to have issues and allergies and what we called in my family the shakes. I couldn't hold my hand flat and still. My fingers would flutter. It was accompanied with really bad migraines and other kind of affectations. And it just started to be hard to hold my pencil in school, to study, to, you know, to act like a normal 9-year-old in fourth grade. And so my mom took me around from doctor to doctor. And I was finally diagnosed as having something called Sydenham's chorea. That would be in the sort of pandas realm in this day and age, still not something super common. But back then they believed it to be a neurological, progressive, debilitating disease. And they told my mom that I was going to get worse and worse and then die. And that she was going to have to, like, you know, buckle in, get ready for the ride. It would end that I'd be on, you know, increased doses of morphine. And my mom just out and out rejected this. I don't really know why, but she just was like, I refuse to believe this fate for my daughter. And so I finally landed in the office of an allergist. And he did all of this testing. I kept a food diary. And in 1979, he took me off corn, wheat, and sugar. And in doing that, you know, he was able to, well, I should say the result of the allergy testing was that I was wildly allergic to my surroundings, everything from dust, danders, molds, my cats, my dog, like all of this stuff. And the bottom line was when I cleaned up my diet and started to clean up the toxins in my home, I had a dramatic recovery. And it was in a couple of weeks that I just started to be normal. Now I kept an odd diet for 1979. But you know, that was able to really roll everything back in reverse. So I come to the world thinking our bodies are dynamic. They are incredible. They are healing mechanisms. They are designed to regenerate and rejuvenate, but we live in an incredibly toxic age. And in fact, we live in a chemical age like no other. We have made chemicals, and I shouldn't even just call them chemicals, really they're substances. substances. Some of them are core elements to the earth, but we've made them bioavailable in ways that they never have been before. That is just because of the way humans have designed their lives. And other chemicals, in fact, we have designed man-made synthetic chemicals, and those have incredible impacts on our bodies, our well-being, our air, our water, our soil. And when I went to have my children, I had my first daughter. She was what I would like to say normal. And then I had my twins, and they were decidedly not normal. They came home from the hospital allergic to things I didn't know, even me, that it was possible to be allergic to. I considered myself a, you know, self-declared ecoista. I was buying at Whole Foods. I was a greenie. I was living in Northern California at the time. I thought I was getting it all right. And it turns out I was bringing things into my home that still were triggering allergies for my infants. And so I'm a journalist by trade. I started doing the research, and that was when my life changed. And that is the moment that I stepped off the cliff, as Robin O'Brien would say. You know, you can't unlearn what you find out. And I thought, my goodness, we are exposed to thousands of chemicals. There are more than 85,000 chemicals in use today. They're in all kinds of things. They are the uninvited guests into our homes, and they get into our bodies, they get into our air, and they cause all kinds of potential issues and disease, and they can spur different kinds of conditions. And as soon as I learned that and I knew my kids were reacting, I needed to, one, roll it back. Is that possible? Yes, it is. And two, help other people do it, because this is not something that your doctors are aware of and taught in medical school. You've got to be proactive, and you have to do this yourself. So I set out to start my nonprofit, madesafe.org, in order to help people do this. We do all the hard work, all the homework. We have all the scientific rigor so that you can just say, I want to buy a product that isn't going to be harmful to humans or anything in the ecosystem, and look at Made Safe as a place to start. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, it's an incredible story. And I always say that what we do, it comes from a place of experience or need, right? Something that we went through to be able to now help ourselves and then everyone else around us. So incredible story. And thank you for what you do. And I do want to dive into Made Safe a little bit later on. Something that I see a lot or hear a lot on social media is the word toxic. And you said it before and you alluded to it. And you were saying some things that are naturally occurring in nature, other things are man-made. And I want to just get this out of the way, because one of the things that I see often is that, oh, if you hear somebody say the word toxic, it's a red flag, you know, don't listen to anything they have to say. Can you explain what that means? Like, what does toxic mean versus things that are man-made versus, you know, naturally occurring and all of that?
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Cindy Bigelow of Bigelow Tea, and I'm here to introduce you to our newest line called Bigelow Benefits. I love them all. We have stress-free, and I say, who doesn't want to be stress-free? Stay well, perfect for this time of year. Calm stomach, sleep, another important one, and our newest, throat defense. So try any one of them. You can buy them on Amazon or BigelowTea.com. I guarantee you, you will love them all.
It is a great topic of conversation. We could probably spend, you know, 3 days on it, but here's how I think about it. When I reference a toxin, the true actual word you'd want to use is toxicant. And so I think a lot of people are talking about toxins and they mean toxicants. And so it's a good reminder to be super careful on that. And the term and the difference is something that is leading to, as I think about it, you know, at Made Safe, we use an ecosystem paradigm. And the reason why we think of ecosystem is it isn't enough to just ask, is this thing going to be harmful to humans? We are bought one being on this great planet, and all of them are impacted by what we do. And we uniquely as humans can think about what we do and have the power to create in ways that are both, you know, incredible and incredibly bad. And I believe that gives us a higher level of responsibility. And so at Made Safe, we put that into action by thinking about, okay, how is something, a substance, going to impact humans? And then how will it impact air, water, soil, sediment, aquatic life, and terrestrial life, which encompasses sort of the flora, the fauna, the animals up through, you know, small and large up through the food chain. And the reason why we're doing that is to see how something's going, how a what we call an element, how a sub ingredient of an ingredient, a substance, something that's been done to it, maybe a process even, how is that going to behave when it gets into our realm and as it goes out into our communities, into our world, into our water, right, into our air. And so we have a very specific definition of what is quote unquote toxic. And that's something that's going to be harmful at some point in that chain. Now, that is extremely prohibitive. It means we do not want to see a lot of things that are commonly used in products today. And when we look at the way things harm, we're looking at, and I think this is important too, the difference between an acute harm, something that is going to, you know, be poisonous in the moment, like immediately, game over, right? That is an acute harm versus something that is more chronic. That means over time, repeat exposures are going to cause harm. Either one can get it ruled out in kind of an ecosystem approach. We're concerned about all of it. We don't think about what most people do, which is say, we're going to look at the risk. How much of this thing until it becomes harmful? How much can you tolerate? And the reason why we don't define harm from that kind of risk-based approach, but rather a hazard-based approach, is that I can't titrate everything that you're using in your given day in your home. So I don't know if that one exposure is actually one of 1,000. And now you've got a tipping point and pointing you epigenetics towards, you know, developing cancer or developing, Parkinson's or ADHD or some other condition. I can't know that. What I can know is that there is enough science indicating the potential for harm, and we're going to call that a toxin or a harmful substance in the Made Safe vernacular. And that's how we define it. And so I think it's really important to get super specific on who you're getting your information from, what their stake in the game is, and, you know, and where that information is in this realm, because that matters. That really, really matters.
So can you give us some examples of what some of those toxicants are?
Sure. So the kinds of things that we look at, again, using Made Safe, we have a banned list of over 6,500 substances that we simply don't permit. It's not where we end in terms of what we do not allow in a Made Safe certified product. It's simply where we begin. It is probably the most restrictive, largest list around. It's nearly five times bigger than the EU's restricted list, and that's generally pointed at as much better. It's larger than the Canadian list. America, we have like 15 ingredients that are restricted substances. We can't even fully ban asbestos. This is always shocking to people, but, you know, so we start with this list. What's on it? Plasticizing chemicals, things like phthalates, other preservatives, things like parabens, pesticides, antibacterial ingredients. A lot of people have heard of triclosan and triclocarbon, which the FDA finally, you know, made a move to get out of hand washing products because They aren't better than plain old soap and water. Those are simple things. A lot of people have heard of the PFAS or perfluorinated per and polyfluoroalkyl ingredients. They're the forever chemicals. There are over, 13,000 of those, I believe, at last count. We don't permit those. We don't permit synthetic flame retardants. That one's a good example because you sort of brought this up, Andrea. Flame retardants, I'm careful to say synthetic flame retardants, those are man-made chemicals that are designed to help products retard fire. So they're used widely in mattresses, in textiles, the couches and furniture that we sit in, and even in building materials. The thing is, when we look at those man-made chemicals, they have serious health consequences. And I'm talking about endocrine disruption, potential carcinogenicity. It depends on, which one, which effect, neurodegenerative issues associated with them. The firemen, firewomen around the country don't want these things continued to be used. They actually go into fires. There are all of these chemicals going up in the fumes, and those are actually more toxic than the flames. And some studies have looked at the fact that they don't really buy you meaningful time or more time even in a fire. So we're using these chemicals. We are getting marketed to that they are important. You see something with flame retardants like kids' pajamas, and you think, oh, great, I want that, right? But unless you really know the backstory here on these chemicals, maybe you don't. Whereas a cotton garment or a wool garment or something made of a natural fiber has, nature has built in its own flame retardation. It doesn't go up in a burst of flame. So there you can find online, a YouTube video where you look at the difference
Pads
between.
on fire. We did pads on fire when we lit up a NatureCare cotton organic pad. Oh my God, I'm totally putting the link below. As you're doing, I'm like, yes, we did the experiment like years ago.
And
And
they're kind of, it's cool, right?
we literally lit a, it was I forget the name of it, was whatever, the maxi pad. It was a brand that had plasticizers in it. It was mostly made of plastic. And we did it and we lit up a NatureCare organic tampon or pad or whatever it was. And literally, the organic cotton pad hardly had any flames. The other one burst into flames. The smells that were coming off it, literally, I'm going to put a link below. Everybody, you have to watch it. It was so eye-opening. It was like, yeah. So, what you're saying is so true that when it comes to actual cotton, it has its own mechanisms built in so that it doesn't kind of go up in flames as quickly and as much.
Right. And so the point, drawing back to your question of what don't we allow, is we look for all of these things. And if they're going to be harmful to us and to the environment in some way, we just don't want to see them continued to be used, especially as high production volume chemicals that are made in the millions and, billions of tons annually, and we've got to start bringing that down from a global footprint of chemicals, and that will have a dramatic effect on our ambient air and water health and well-being as a result in communities around the globe. So that's a big thing. And then doing what you can do, adding that other layer to do it for yourself, for your home, to reduce your own chemical body burden. We've seen studies that you can impact these things. You can move many of these chemicals out, and you can do it rather quickly by just reducing your exposures. So I like to say to everybody, look, we're all exposed. It's hard and it's kind of heavy to hear that, but don't stress about it. Rely on Made Safe. We can help you navigate this. And you're just trying to remove some of the exposures to give your body the chance to do its work at detoxification, which it was designed to do, which is what I needed to do at age 9 and has, served me well as a mechanism throughout my life, remembering that. And so that's really my message to people is like, look, yes, we are exposed. It is the way we live. That needs to change. That's the long game. The short game, that's affecting the here and now in our own lives, in our own homes, one product at a time with whatever you're going to buy next.
I remember years ago, I was on a flight and I was sitting next to a fireman, this young guy, probably in his 30s. And we started chatting and I started asking him a whole bunch of questions. And he told me, I'll never forget this. He told me, and this is going back to what you were saying about fire retardants. He told me that as firemen or firewomen, the number one source of toxins that comes from the fires is from mattresses. And he said that the amount of chemicals, now again, this could have changed. This is years ago that I remember speaking to him about it. But he said that mattresses had so many chemicals in it, which is another good reason to make sure when you're buying a mattress that you're looking for one that doesn't have all of these chemicals. We're sleeping on it 8 hours a night. And we could, you could talk about that. But he was saying that it was really eye-opening for me to understand that when he said that. Because I always thought it was like the, you know, the flames themselves. And he was like, no, it's the chemicals that are coming off all of these products in the home. So I thought that was really interesting.
I mean,
to me.
Smoke isn't great, no matter what you're inhaling.
Yeah, of course,
but
of
the
course.
Toxic fumes are deadly.
Yeah. Amy, what do you say to those who say, well, you know, obviously we're exposed to chemicals all the time, like you said, and they're not harmful, and a little bit's not going to hurt you?
So there are chemicals called endocrine disrupting chemicals. It's a mouthful. Sometimes they're abbreviated to EDs or EDCs, if you see that, endocrine disrupting chemicals. What does that mean? Well, it means that they play on our hormonal system. And they, the hormonal system is this incredible symphony that begins in utero and continues throughout your life to take your last breath. It's like a lock and key system of certain things that have to happen in perfect timing to play the symphony for your body to work as it should. And endocrine disrupting chemicals mimic different impacts in that, or different, let's say, continuing with my metaphor, different, you know, instruments. And so they're playing the tune, but maybe they're not supposed to play in that moment, or maybe they're crowding out the other one. And so endocrine disrupting chemicals really can mess with our own body systems. And they have something known as a non-monotonic response. And that means it isn't the more you're exposed to, the larger the effect. It's actually the reverse. It's in very teeny tiny amounts, they can have a very large impact. And we are being exposed to endocrine disrupting chemicals every minute of every day, because they're in plastics and we are exposed to plastics all the time. Plastics have been found in our bloodstream, our urine, our fecal matter, in organ tissue. I mean, they're everywhere. And we don't know all of the health impacts from them, but we do know some. And so to the sort of argument of a dose making the poison, that goes back to a very risk-based approach of how much of this until I die. Well, guess what? You don't know how much of anything you're being exposed to on any given day, because most of these chemicals do not smell, they do not taste, and you cannot see them because they are microscopic. So you don't know. And to that, I just say again, what can you do? You start pulling down how much of these things you're being exposed to. You start with where you sleep, because that is a key time for your body to do its rest, rejuvenation, detoxification work is overnight, and you work from there. But it's everything. It's what you put on your skin. It's your personal care products. I mean, there was a great study a few years ago that was done that was really eye-opening, that said personal care product pollution, the like VOCs that are ambient from these products, are equal in some cities like Los Angeles to the pollution occurring at rush hour from cars. Think about that. That is a massive amount of pollution. So the smog in LA is partially from personal care products. So we think of these things as being invisible, and therefore we think they don't matter, but they do. And if you're asthmatic, they matter even more. If you're having certain kinds of issues, or you have a, we all are bioindividual. That's a big word, but it means we're all unique, right? But our DNA doesn't mean absolutely everything. One of the things that the medical community has learned in the past, I don't know, 20 years or so, is this concept of epigenetics. It's we might have a gene for something, but it doesn't mean you're going to get that disease. You might carry an APOE4 gene or two, and whether or not that triggers Alzheimer's has a lot to do with how you live. And part of how you live is what you're being exposed to, what you're breathing, what, and that's what you're putting on your skin and what's in your house. And so I'm very passionate about these exposures because there's so much in life we can't control, but these we can take action on and start to control. And when we do that, we start to send a message in the marketplace to companies that these chemicals are not things we want. They start to change their products because ultimately those chemical companies and product manufacturers report to us, and we send a signal to Main Street about what we're willing to tolerate in our products. And then we start to see legislation to match. So it's important to work this at every angle and, take control of what you can, write your legislators about what you can't.
Yeah, and that's a good point because we speak with our dollars, right? And companies have started to change it. I mean, I'm writing a book now that will be out next year about menopause, and our demo is menopause. Our listeners are in perimenopause and menopause. And I just finished a chapter on unjunking our food additives. And what was fascinating to me is that endocrine disruptors like parabens, which are our main source, and this is according to the Canadian government, that our main exposure is to parabens are in cosmetics. It could be medications, it could be even supplements. Certain supplements can have it. That's why it's always important to read the ingredients and understand what you're putting on your in and on your body, but also in our food. So, and one of the parabens in particular, which was propylparaben, has been shown and has been found, and methylparaben has been found in breast tissue. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. As we go into perimenopause and menopause, we're already more susceptible to so many things. And certain chemicals that we know can end up in breast tissue and or can be an endocrine disruptor, like you were explaining before, and mimic hormones in our body. These are things that we really want to be diligent about minimizing or avoiding when we can. So to me, and that's where it comes into understanding, food labels and what you're putting in your body and cosmetic labels and all of that, and understanding what those chemicals are. And that's why it's really important. And I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, it's fascinating on that point, the parabens. And what happens is chemicals come in and out of vogue and in and out of labs getting studied. So we know a lot about parabens, and they should just flat out be avoided in foods and personal care. And yet they are still there, and
They're
they are
still
still
allowed.
being used primarily as preservatives. So a few years back, Silent Spring was doing a collection of urine samples alongside a big, sort of sharing of like, what are you using and all of this, to do some body burden testing of a few key chemicals common in things. And I have a pretty clean routine, so I wanted to see how I would measure up, stack up against, the general population using this, because you get your results. And so I did all my norms, but the one thing I did was I used conventional over-the-counter mascara, and it had parabens in it. And they showed up in my urine. They showed
What? The
up.
mascara?
Yes, is the only thing that had parabens. I was just flabbergasted, honestly, because like my eyelashes, like how much could it be? So I just think, it kind of goes back to that, like, is it a little, like, how much does it matter? And it and so, look, we're not all going to get it perfect. I'm not going to get it perfect.
No,
That's not the
exactly.
point. The point is to reduce, right? Or no, when you're making a kind of chemical trade-off, some days maybe you want to wear that mascara or whatever, but you kind of go, that's going to show up in my system, so maybe I won't do it every day.
Yeah, so I you're bringing up a good point, and I want to get into what we can do and how we can help ourselves, because we don't live in a, listen, we don't live in bubbles. We're exposed to things all the time. We live our lives. We don't want to be, we're already more stressed now than we were before, and the last thing we want to do is overwhelm you even more. However, there are things that you can do and tips that we're going to share that you could minimize them. And that's the key, is awareness and education. So once you know, then you know that you can make those choices, or you can make exactly like better decisions when you're shopping, looking, learning how to read a label. All of that can make a difference, or picking and choosing when you want to use it. Or how about making sure that we're going to the bathroom every day? And that's something that I talk about all the time, right? Making sure that our, we're eliminating the bacteria, the things that our body doesn't want anymore, like our
That's
estrogenates,
detox.
that we're detoxing properly. And our body does do that naturally. So that's why things like FiberRest. I mean, these are the reasons why I launched that. That is the one of the main reasons that I launched FiberRest as our first product, which is a soluble fiber, because we need to make sure that we're going to the bathroom every day. And that is something that I talk about over and over again and stress that. So let's get into the good stuff, Amy. How can we make a difference? So now we've heard all of the things, not all. We're going to put a link to Amy's website, which is madesafe.org, and you can learn about, we're going to talk about your organization. But what are some things, some tips that we can do in our everyday life to help to minimize or avoid these toxicants or these chemicals that are wreaking havoc on our endocrine system as well as our bodies?
Yeah, absolutely. And just as a follow-on to that, if people are like, well, who are you? And what I, in my process of learning, I studied with a bunch of doctors and functional medicine professionals and became a certified clean coach and studied nutrition and all of that because I was like, can you move the needle for yourself? So I wanted to know, and we have an incredible scientific advisory team. So we really do think about this from a broad perspective of the human body, the environment, the ecosystem, and just the science on these chemicals. And the one thing we know is avoidance will not hurt you. Period. The end. Full stop. So there's no harm in taking a step to try and avoid some of these chemicals and chemistries. A few of the key things to do is to look for some, I'll just give you a few things that you can do that are like key triggers or, things to be mindful of. What you put on your skin gets absorbed. Your skin is your body's largest organ. It absorbs anywhere from 60 to
60%,
80% of what goes on it. So you're eating what you put on your skin. So I like to just say that to remind people that's the why we're going to think about what we're putting on our skin. Women tend to use 10 to 15 products a day. All of that has impact. So you might want to start there because those are the things you use day in, day out, all the time. Those are, again, what I call the chronic exposures, those repeat all the time exposures. So we don't want them to be leading to harm. So a big thing is fragrance. And this is a hard one, but it's a great one to start to be paying attention to. Where are you getting fragrance? Fragrance does not have to be disclosed. All it has to say is fragrance on the back of the product. So that's a great way of looking for something that you might want to think about avoiding. Move it out, change it out of your routine because fragrance is a backdoor for anywhere from 5 to 10 to 100 to 1,000 chemicals in a product that you don't know what they are. Some of them are the phthalates. They make fragrance last longer. And those are endocrine disrupting chemicals. They are plastic derivatives, so petroleum derived. There's a whole host of reasons why they aren't clean ingredients and should be avoided. And they're in almost all of your products, even products that have no scent, because fragrance can be used to counter a chemical smell for the products. So that's a good thing to look for and to just start to minimize and avoid. If you use, it doesn't go on your skin, but ambient, if you use scented candles or a plug-in or something like that in your home to make it smell, again, that's a big fragrance area. That's going to be something that you want to get rid of. Endocrine disruption and the EDC chemicals that I was talking about, they're linked with early onset puberty. We're talking about menopause. We're talking about the other end. We don't yet know all of the things that these chemicals are impacting on that side of things. The study of menopause is still pretty young, and the study of these chemicals, they're still relatively young, but we know they're doing something in that endocrine system and on that kind of spectrum. So I just say again, doing this will not hurt you, and it may help. It may ease your way through this kind of time period of change. We also know some of these chemicals are related to endometriosis and PCOS and different kinds of things that impact women with more challenging periods. So again, it's great to like move them out, the endocrine disrupting chemicals, lots of them found in fragrance. So that's a key thing that you can do for yourself. The other is start to read labels. I don't expect you to know what's in a given thing. But when you flip it over and you see a ton of terms, a laundry list of items, that's a good trigger to think, I might want to maybe try and find a product with fewer ingredients. It is not a guarantee that those fewer ingredients are necessarily better, but it's minimizing how many things you are
We're
being
exposed to.
exposed to. So just that reduction in and of itself is a good one. And oftentimes, products that are made with fewer ingredients are superior ingredients. To this, you're going to say, but it's going to cost me more. Those products are more expensive. To which I say, you probably don't need to be using everything that's in your personal care, tray on your bathroom sink, whatever, wherever it is you do this. And so using less, but buying better, purer ingredient products is oftentimes the way to go. So that's another tip there.
That's a good tip because we're exposed to so many, you were saying 15, 16, products. And I would think that it's even more than that in a day. If you think about it, from your washing your face to removing your makeup to your shampoo, your conditioner, a lot of us throw on perfume. I mean, there's a rule in our house. I do not allow, like, I have teenagers in my house. Even my son now, who's going to be 21, is like he loves like this cologne that they use, and I'm like, you could, for those of you who are listening, you see Amy's face. I'm like, I feel the same way. And then we've got these, and they linger in our house. So there's a rule in our house that like they're not allowed to spray it because I work from home. I'm in my house 24/7. First of all, I don't like the smell, but also I know what it's exposing myself and everyone else in the house to. So there are better all there are better options that you could choose. Like for example, essential oils are beautiful, like to diffuse an essential oil. When it comes to perfume, I know that I've had other options for perfumes. Now maybe my kids won't use it, but for myself, I know that there are brands that won't have the parabens and phthalates in it. So this is where MadeSafe comes in, and this is where MadeSafe is a tool alongside some others that I want to talk about as well that you could go to. So do you have an app, Amy, that people can have on their phone, or is it just on your website? Like, how can people find products that are made safe? So why don't you explain what made safe is, and then
Sure.
how people can look it up
I'm
if
going to
they
give
want
you
to
a
look up
third
products.
tip, Andrea, and then I'm going to tell them where to jump to find it. So my third tip was avoid anything that says it's antimicrobial or antibacterial. And that's because it contains a registered pesticide, which is a really strong, overly strong preservative ingredient, and it's found in a lot of personal care, also household cleaners. But we think about the importance of antibiotics and the fact that we're having incredible antibiotic resistance, and
Resistance.
those ingredients tend to lead to more of that. So we just don't need to, you don't need a 10,000-pound hammer to drive in a small nail. You need enough preservative in your product so that it doesn't grow mold or other things, but there are ways to do that without those heavy duty performers. So
Especially those
that I will.
clothes, the antibacterial clothes, like that you can
Yes.
get. Oh my God, are
Yes.
the anti start like the starch like the that are come like I guess that they
Yeah.
hold it, like the anti wrinkles, like all of that.
You don't want that. Those are loaded with perfluorinated ingredients usually as well. So there's a whole, those are and nano silvers and all kinds of stuff that we just don't necessarily, we don't want, we don't know what breathing those will do over the long term. So better to avoid until we do know. More natural ingredients have been around for, in age, and so we know that they don't harm us. So it's better to stick on the side of more natural. I don't say that exclusively has to be the way to go, but if you're new to this and you're having trouble deciphering, it is something that you can tend to lean on as a general rule.
And especially if you love those plugins, going back to that for a second, like I said, you can diffuse essential oils. There's some great recipes where you can put like oranges and cinnamon on your stove, and that'll diffuse some beautiful smells in your house. So there
Yeah.
are other options. I mean, using social media, just you can even Google different ways or alternatives that you can do that are more natural. And going to cosmetics for a minute, which I do love to see this trend, is that there are a lot of great brands that don't use like that are not on that are have banned ingredients that are on your probably never use list. But it's also there's like things like castor oil that you could use on your skin, right? So if you're looking for alternatives, this is going back to your pricing point, is that there are ways that you can find these alternatives that don't have to break the bank. Like for example, castor oil, you can use that on your skin, right? And just maybe, blend it with something else because it's a little bit thick. So I just want to make the point that there are ways to do it that don't have to break the bank, and talking about budget, because it is an important thing, right? Because we
Yeah.
don't want to think, oh my gosh, now I'm going to have to go spend so much more money to be able to do this, because it's not realistic in this day and age, right? So we're all on a budget, and we want to make sure that we are able to, to do it consistently so that we can afford it consistently.
Yeah. So I am an absolute, proponent of less is more. And as a mom of three teenagers, I am constantly preaching that, and they listen sometimes. But anyway, I would suggest if you want to get started and you're still like, I don't know where, go to madesafe.org. We have an area where you can look at products. We don't sell anything. We're not making money from these products. We want you to go and support these brands wherever it is that you shop or on their websites. But you can shop by category. And on Madesafe, you'll see everything. So we talked about the essential oils and candles and things like that. We actually have alternatives. So we're not so abstemious that we're saying you can't have anything. It's just we've done, again, all the
Right.
hard work, all the homework, combing through, we understand what's in something, and we've looked at how those behave. And for people who are not sensitive to essential oils, recognize there are some, we have a lot of really great products, and we have some unscented stuff too that's truly unscented, no fragrance to make it. So that's just like a natural beeswax or soy or, simple candle. So you don't have to forgo the joy that you get from these things. And I think that's really important because I know, like with my teens, there's something fun in doing a face mask with their, my girls, with their girlfriends on a sleepover. But I just give them ones that are made with stuff I don't mind sitting on their skin. Because all things being equal, I'd rather them use something that's, natural and not harmful ingredients and not polluting the air around them. So you can go to MadeSafe and shop by relevant category or very specific product. We have about 3,200 certified products, and they range by all kinds of things you use in your home. And it's a starting point. And we also have a lot of education on chemicals, what they are, what they do, where you find them, what to look for, and ways to kind of avoid them. So you can start to become more educated if this is something that's of interest to you. It is absolutely the old adage of peeling an onion. You go layer by layer. Don't beat yourself up about what you're not doing or what you can't give up. Just find a place to start whatever you need to buy next and try and buy it in accordance with these values. And you'll find it's easier than you might think.
And maybe when you finish one thing, for example, cleaning products, you finish your bottle of cleaning products, we're not telling you to throw it out. We're telling you to just finish it. And then when you buy your new cleaning product, look for one that, that doesn't have these toxicants or these harsh chemicals in it, right? So I think one by one and doing it slowly and doing it as you can afford it, I think is important. But being mindful and understanding is the most important thing. Especially ladies, I'm going to repeat it again. We are so much more susceptible to things as we go into this phase of life. So, doing our best to try to minimize at least what we can control, right? That's the key. What we can control is what we put into and onto our bodies as much as possible. That's the key. So Amy, thank you so much. This has been amazing. We will put a link below to your organization. And how can people follow you on social media?
They can follow me on Insta at Amy Ziff or at MadeSafeHQ. And
thank
we're
you so
also
much.
On TikTok. Same name.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I always love speaking to experts and old friends that I've known in the health and wellness industry. I've been in it for 24 years. And Amy is one of those people that I met early on that really is trying to make a difference for all of us, and especially for products that we're putting onto our bodies. So thank you, Amy, for spending the last hour and a bit with me. I appreciate you. And I appreciate all of you who are listening or watching us on YouTube. If you could do me a huge favor, if you could fill out the surveys, we have 10 of them now on our website. We have our signs and symptoms survey, our sleep survey, our stigma survey, our anxiety and mood survey, and a new survey that we just launched recently called Doctor Visits. So I want to know if you went to the doctor to talk about how you're feeling, and if you did, what the communication was between you and your healthcare practitioner. So please answer our surveys. We call them our citizens research. And I'd be super grateful if you can help further our perimenopause and menopause research. Please leave a review for Menopause Reimagined. I'd love to hear what you have to say about our show. And it also helps other people find our podcast. So I'm grateful for you, and I'll see you at the next interview.